morning, Your Honors. My name is Jim Martinkus, and I represent Hoosier Care, which does business as Swan Special Care Center. I represent that entity, but I'm really here on behalf of the residents who are the particular people at need. In order for you to understand this case, I think you do need to understand a little bit about who we're talking about. This is a facility run at Champaign, Illinois, and it takes care of about 112 residents. Two-thirds of those are minors. Of those 112 residents, 110 are incontinent and never will have control of bowel movements. 67% of these individuals are fed through gastric tubes. The lucky ones are not blind or deaf. None of them are ambulatory. Most don't speak. Most cannot carry on a conversation. Some can vocalize. These are severely disabled individuals who need care. In the context of this case, the Hoosier Care sought to have American workers fill these roles. But as the Department of Labor has certified, there is no willing American worker to do this sort of work. This is very difficult, drudgery, low-scale work. In that context, the Hoosier Care sought to have certification by the Department of Labor as to certain foreign...
Is there an argument that any post-secondary education constitutes relevant training for these jobs?
It is not. My argument is that once the Department of Labor, pursuant to the regulations, certifies an ETA 750 form, that in this instance, any bachelor's degree is relevant for purposes of this job. My position is...
Well, why do you require a bachelor's degree? Why wouldn't 1 year or 2 years of college be adequate?
Your Honor, that is up to the Department of Labor based upon the job classification to determination. When they come out and look at the facilities, they make a determination as to the particular needs of these individuals and the type of education requirements which will satisfy the two-year experience requirement. The statute requires 2 years of training.
Who made a determination that a bachelor's degree is required?
In this instance, the Department of Labor, in its certification.
Pardon?
In this case, Judge, the Department of Labor, in its certification, it signs off on the ETA 750 and says, in order to be qualified, you either have the 2 years of training and experience, or, and it says specifically, it's in the record, a bachelor's degree in any field. And that's what we had here. Both of these applicants, Mr. Buking and Mr. Apari, both had bachelor's degrees. This was presented to the United States Citizen and Immigration Services, which would typically then make a determination, do these applicants have the qualifications as set forth and certified by the Department of Labor? But in this case, that's not what they did. What they did is go beyond the determination of the Department of Labor and say, you know what, even though you, the Department of Labor said it can be a bachelor's degree in any field, we're going to interpret the statutory regulations, statute and regulations to mean a relevant degree. And the Citizen Immigration Services then set forth in its rationale why it thought, well, it should impose certain other requirements as to the nature and type a bachelor's degree to be relevant. And that's what is the gist, basically, of what we're here for.
Well, that language about relevant degree is in the regulation.
It's
not something that the
department glossed
it with.
But the last section, Your Honor, if you look at subsection 4, it says, the determination of whether a worker is a skilled or other worker will be based on the requirements of training and or experience placed on the job by the prospective employer as certified by the Department of Labor. The statute, Your Honor, that is at 8 CFR 204.5, subsection 4. And if you look at that section, it specifically sets forth that it is the Department of Labor. And Your Honor, that regulation makes sense. The Department of Labor is the hands-on entity that goes out, works with the employer, looks at the nature of these positions. The Department of Labor has to certify there are no American workers willing to take these jobs at the prevailing rate. It did that, and it determined under these circumstances, these incredibly profoundly disabled people need these services, and they can only be handled by these foreign workers. They're willing to come in and do this work. And they certify it, and it was their determination that any degree any baccalaureate degree in any field is a sufficient basis for certification. Both our applicants had the degrees. The Citizen Immigration Services elected not to accept it, and on its own, and this is what we believe is arbitrary and capricious, they decided now for this particular case to include their interpretation of what relevant might be. And that's really the case, sir. And unless you have questions, that's all I really have to say.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Martinez. Mr. Lewis?
May it please the Court, I'm James Lewis, and I represent the defendants' appellees who are officials of the United States Department of Homeland Security. And I'd like to go directly to the key question, which is, what is the responsibility of the Department of Homeland Security as defined by a specific statute? And what is the responsibility of the Department of Labor as defined by a specific statute? How do these statutory responsibilities work together so that the system functions as Congress intended? And I, just by way of beginning, would like to read something from the SNAPNames decision at page 3, where the Court says, the Court must look first to the statutory text to see whether Congress has spoken directly to the question at hand. If Congress has spoken clearly, that is the end of the matter, and the plain language controls. I see this as a case, what I would call the tale of two statutes. Both of those cases are on page 22 of our brief. Congress has addressed the specific issue in this case in 8 U.S.C. 1153b3ai, defining skilled worker, and then in 8 U.S.C. section 1182a5ai, defining the labor certification that must precede the immigration decision whether a particular applicant is a skilled worker. And I'd like to go to the skilled worker statute first, because that's the decision under review. Then I'll talk about the labor certification. In this case, after the Department of Labor found that the market could use skilled workers, then the immigration agency found that the two applicants, Mr. Apari and Mr. Buching, were not in fact skilled workers as Congress by statute defined skilled workers in section 1153. They did not have 2 years training for the work that was defined in the labor certification. That's on page, that's box 13, page 4 of the administrative record. They did not have 2 years' experience for that work. Their training was maritime and agriculture, and they were to do developmental disability work. So the immigration agency, by statute, could not have found that they had 2 years' training or 2 years' experience. They didn't qualify under statute as skilled.
Well, but what about the section that Mr. Martinkus cited, this subsection 4?
Yes, exactly.
Determination of whether workers are skilled or other worker will be based on the requirements of training and or experience placed on the job by the prospective employer and certified by the Department of Labor.
Thank you, Your Honor, because you were heading exactly where I was heading. Because the agency, by regulation 8 CFR 204.5L2, has added a little bit to Congress's statutory explanation. And Mr. Martinkus cited L4. Really, I think you've got to look at L2, L3, and L4 together. L2 defines skilled worker and says we will add a relevant post-secondary completed education to what's in the statute, section 1153. We'll add that. And everybody is satisfied that that's a legitimate addition.
There's no we there. It says relevant post-secondary education may be considered as training.
Right. So it
and
says
the department has decided that for this particular job, any bachelor's degree is relevant post-secondary training.
They have decided that, but that is not their decision. The scope of a labor...
Why are you challenging this L4?
No, I'm not.
Regulation.
No, I'm not. Let me explain why not. L2 defines skilled worker. L3 says the evidence that you should look at to see whether someone is skilled or someone is professional or someone is other. Then L4 tells you explicitly from its first sentence how you separate skilled from other. But that's not the question in this case. We're not trying to separate skilled from other. We're simply saying the person is not skilled for this work.
It says the determination of whether a worker is a skilled or other worker will be based, etc., etc., what I read. I don't get that separation. Yeah, the determination of whether a worker is skilled is done by the Department of Labor, unless this provision is invalid.
The problem is that L4 has to be read with L2.
Sure, and when you read it with L2, it says quite sensibly, as Mr. Martinkus said, it's the Labor Department, not DHS, which knows what, you know, what kind of skills are required for what kind of work. So it's decided that, you know, anyone with a bachelor's degree is qualified to take care of these unfortunates, which seems pretty plausible when you think about it. So why isn't that
the answer to
a good interpretation of?
The answer to that is that it is a perfectly good interpretation if 1182 is the only statute. 1182 is the one that requires the labor certification. It is not a perfectly good interpretation or a perfectly good conclusion if you look at something that Hoosier Care doesn't look at, which is 1153, which is an immigration statute that says, here's what skilled really means. What you're asking me is that if the Labor Department makes a decision that doesn't look at 1153, is that binding?
I understand. This is this 1153B3AI that you mentioned?
Yes, it is.
22 of your brief?
Yes, it is.
It says skilled workers are qualified immigrants capable of performing skilled labor requiring at least 2 years training of experience. That's obviously some kind of typo, training or experience. Not of a temporary seasonal nature, etc. And then the regulation goes on to delegate to the Department of Labor determining, you know, what kind of training is required.
Yes and no. And that is where the problem is.
The no part.
That's thank you very much. The yes part is the Labor Department says the labor market needs people. The no part...
Beyond that, it also determined that to take care of these disabled people, anyone with a bachelor's degree has the requisite post-secondary education.
That's not their determination.
Well, it is according to this regulation.
No, I don't think so, because
but
I think...
It says that.
I think, well, if the regulation...
L4 says that.
If the regulation is interpreted that way, it then eliminates the responsibility of the immigration authorities to apply 8 U.S.C. 1153.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
They apply 1153, but for purposes of application, they look at the determination of the requisite training made by the Department of Labor, which is the agency that has the relevant expertise.
They have the expertise in the labor...
What does DHS and its multitudinous constituent agencies know about what kind of training is necessary to take care of disabled people? That's not their responsibility.
Well, may I say that it, may I disagree and suggest that it is, and as follows. They, in this case, Hoosier Care is offering a person with maritime background and a person with an agricultural background to work with developmental disability people. The DHS, in its decision, read carefully, said, we will accept teachers, we'll accept therapists, we'll accept people with occupational training, but not maritime training and not the agricultural training. And they say that because 1153 has to be respected and honored as well.
1153 is perfectly consistent with delegation to the Labor Department of making the determination of the requisite training, because the Labor Department knows more about what these what is required. It's perfectly plausible. These unfortunates, as described by Mr. Martinkus, what they require is people who are, you know, responsible. They don't have to have special skills. Responsible people. It's a custodial job, basically. There isn't much that can be done with these people. And people who've gone through, you know, 4 years of college, gotten a degree, have demonstrated a certain, you know, ability to stick to something, responsible and so on. Many employers prefer people with college degrees without regard to the particular field. So it's not irrational for the Labor Department to think a bachelor's degree is a qualification here.
May I respond very briefly? And I think I've covered this fairly well in the brief, and every circuit that we've looked at has gone in a different direction from what you are suggesting. The Ninth Circuit has gone a different direction, the D.C. Circuit. But my response on what does the Labor Department actually think is to tell you that in my brief is a direct quote from the Labor Department. It's on pages 25 and 26 of my brief. And the Department of Labor says, quote, in a quote that I think answers your question, quote, the labor certification in no way indicates that the alien offered the certified job opportunity is qualified or not qualified.
Well, of course not, because they don't know the individual, right? All they've done is to suggest that the training requirement in the regulation, that the relevant post-secondary education for this type of job includes 4 years, you know, a bachelor's degree. Now, if DHS says, now look, this person is a child molester or something and shouldn't be given a visa, that's perfectly consistent with the Labor Department's judgment of what is relevant post-secondary education. The regulation delegates that responsibility to the Labor Department.
The legislation delegates two questions to the Labor Department. That's the legislation 1182. It tells, are there Americans willing to do this? Will letting foreigners in throw off the labor market? Period. That is all the labor certification says.
Left L4.
That, because that's not what that means in the full context of L2.
What does L4 mean? L4 says the Labor Department determines whether the employer, you look at the employer, says I need people with X training, and then the Labor Department looks at that, and if it certifies that, then it's made a determination that relevant post-secondary education for this class of jobs is a bachelor's degree. That's what L4 says. You can say it's invalid if you want. Maybe these other cases haven't considered it, but I don't see how it can be reinterpreted to
Your
mean
Honor,
something irrelevant to this case. I don't know
but then, again. But then the problem that is left is that these are people whose training is absolutely irrelevant to the job,
says
and L2
says you. You don't know anything about the job.
Excuse me. The appellate decision, which has a definition of the job. The definition is in the administrative record at page 4, and is quoted in the decision. They know the definition of the job. They look carefully at the educational backgrounds of the people, and they say you don't satisfy L2. You're saying they satisfy L4, but they don't satisfy L2. What happens in a situation like that?
That's a good question.
I think
apparently not addressed by the courts.
Well, and I think the answer, my time has run. I think both statutes and both regulations have to be applied, and in this case, the decision that this is not relevant. Otherwise, you have people just you have essentially college graduates who have no training and no experience, and the agency has said, well, we'll take therapists, we'll take this, we'll take that, but not agricultural.
The department has made a mistake, and DHS is correcting their mistake. Right?
I don't think they're saying, no, they're saying the labor certification we accept.
I understand. Look, the labor department certified that any bachelor's degree is relevant post-secondary education for this job.
May I say that they did not? The certification is on page A4. It's hard to read. It's also in the SNAP names decision. The certification is a small stamp. It's not in the appendix. It's in the administrative record at page 4. It's a small stamp. All the Labor Department says, it's also quoted in the SNAP names decision, it simply says the labor market can handle skilled workers. We can accept skilled workers. And it then kicks the ball over to the DHS to make the decision. That is the Ninth Circuit position. That is the D.C. Circuit position for the DHS to answer that question, the 1153 question.
So the certification does not make the skilled, unskilled
determination? No. That's correct. The certification doesn't say Raymond Apari is skilled.
And meets the statutory and regulatory
definition. It simply answers the 1182 questions. It's hard to read because it's in multicolor ink.
Is that what happens in every case?
That's what a labor cert says. SNAP names, for instance, Your Honor, has another labor cert. It actually quotes it at page 1 of the SNAP names decision. If you read that short labor cert, all it says is the labor market has room for people, period.
The Department of Labor is not actually doing what this sub 4 says?
That wasn't a problem in this case. That distinction wasn't a problem. That's right. They weren't.
I don't understand you.
The issue in front of the Department of Labor was purely the labor market. The issue was not whether what Hoosier Care was putting to them was skilled or other. That's the L4 question. The Labor Department assumed it would be a skilled position and simply said, if there's a hypothetical skilled person, the labor market can handle it. Then that whether that person fits the was in fact skilled is put over to DHS, and DHS has to answer it using 1153 and the regulations. Are you really skilled? That's a DHS question. And I'm sorry that I took so much time. I should have made it clear a while ago. I apologize.
Apparently, neither agency is doing what L4 apparently says.
That wasn't a problem in this case. It wasn't required in this particular case.
I'm asking as a general matter. It sounds like what you're saying is that the Department of Labor is not routinely making the determination of whether an employee is skilled or unskilled.
No, I can't say routinely. What I can say in this case is that they accepted the premise given them by Hoosier Care. They accepted the premise that this was skilled work. And accepting that premise, they didn't have to apply L4. Because that is what they needed to accept a certain premise in order to look at a labor market.
L4 tells them to make a determination whether the worker is skilled.
That wasn't the problem.
They don't do it. Obviously not the problem. It's obviously the problem. It's critical here. So why didn't they do that?
Then they might have said these people are other, and then we wouldn't have gone through the whole skilled analysis. But I'm also saying to you that you can go to the Department of Labor and say, I have this hypothetical skill set that I'm looking for. Can the market handle it? And that is the Department of Labor question under 1182. And they answered the market can handle it.
Okay, you're saying they didn't make an L4 determination.
I'm saying they did not. There's no indication of it in the record, and I'm saying it's a two-step process.
We understand. Okay.
Thank you. I apologize.
So, Mr. Martinkus, how much time does he have? 4 minutes?
Thank you. The problem with that analysis, Your Honor, is simply that if you look at the category other workers, it says if the petition is for an unskilled other worker, it must be accompanied by evidence that the alien meets any educational training and experience and other requirements of the labor certification. The only rational inference is that when the department specifically says any bachelor's degree will satisfy this, it is talking about skilled workers.
Where did they say that?
I don't have it in front of me. Mr. Lewis doesn't say that. I believe it does. I believe it specifically certifies in this case, and I'm 99.9% sure. I don't have it right in front of me.
Is it in the appellate
record? Yes. That it's
record we have?
Yes, Your Honor. It should say specifically that a bachelor's degree in any field is what was required here. That exact argument by Mr. Lewis has been rejected recently by a district court case, Grace Korean United Methodist Church. It's in my brief.
Cited in your brief.
Yes, Judge. And that the Grace case listened to that same argument and rejected it completely. It says in that case that it's the employer working under the supervision and the direction of the Department of Labor that establishes the requirements for employment. USCIS looks to education and experience requirements in the labor certificate to determine whether the applicant falls within the skilled worker professional classification. That determination should be based on the requirements of training and or experience placed on the job by the prospective employer, quote, as certified by the Department of Labor. It is the responsibility of the employer, not USCIS, to establish the criteria for the open position. This is exactly what you have here. If you look at subsection 4, it does in fact state that the Department of Labor is to determine this. It makes no sense, Your Honor. It really makes no sense. The Department of Labor comes to these facilities. They look and see what these needs are, and they then tell the USCIS, here's what we need. When you do the ETA 750, you're looking at a general classification. Then they examine Buking and Apari and see if they meet these requirements. But they can't simply change the rules certified by the department.
Thank you, well, thank you very much, Mr. Matinkus and Mr. Lewis.